This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And the Quran says, when the last rain comes.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu ala al-Mustafa wa ala alihi wa sohbatihi wa man ihtada bihadjihi ila yawmil liqa. So we continue in our prophecy about the children of Israel, and we are with the verses of Allah Rabbul Izzah, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنَ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ عُلُوًّا كَبِيرًا. We decreed unto the children of Israel that you will rain mischief on earth twice, and you will reach mighty heights. And then Allah Rabbul Izzah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ أُولَاهُمَا. When the end, and wa'ad means nihaya or zawal, the end or the decline or the downfall. So when the end of the first rain came, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا. We sent against you servants of ours. And notice the words, Allah Rabbul Izzah hasn't said ibadana, but ibadan lana. This is nakira. It means that they are not special servants. These are not faithful servants. They are just servants. So everything in the heaven and earth is created by God and are such servants and slaves of God. So this is in that sense of the word. And it is an incorrect translation to say that this is min bab al-tashrif, that it is a statement of honor. So they came, the Assyrians came, and the Babylonians came, and the verse said, فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ. They would traverse through your houses and dwellings, and they did. They went into their houses looking for them, so they lost the war, and then they were taken as captives and removed from the land of Palestine. So this is where we stopped last time. The next part of the verse says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And the address here is to the Muslims, upon whom the revelation has been revealed. Then Allah Rabbul Izzah says, then we gave you victory over them. Meaning we gave the Muslims victory over Rome and Persia. Because the Jews, the Israelites, never defeated Rome and Persia. So it can't be about them. The only ones that defeated Rome and Persia, the Babylonians, the Romans, the Persians, this was the Muslims that came after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran says, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَا لَكُمُ الْكَرَّةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَمْدَدْنَاكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And we furbished you with wealth and children and made you the most populous of nations. And again, a miracle of the Quran. Because at the time when the verses are revealed, Muslims are just a few thousand. This is at the time the Prophet's alive. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was alive, Islam was just in Mecca and Medina. And just right towards the end of his life, it grew to take over the Arab Peninsula, but still very small. Yet the Quran prophesizes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, and Rome and Persia, defeating Rome and Persia was out of the, was not even imaginable. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told that we will give you and your nation victory over them, over Rome and Persia. And then we will give you wealth and progeny and make you the most populous of nations. So Rome fell to the Muslims, Persia fell to the Muslims, Islam spread through their lands, wealth came, children came, and so far as the population is concerned, today we are almost 2 billion in population. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. And our Jewish cousins
haven't been given this. So to say that these verses refer to them is inaccurate, because they are not the most in number at any time in history. So وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ أَكْثَرَ نَفِيرًا. So Islam spread, and in the time of the Khalif Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, it reached the doors of Jerusalem and Bayt al-Maqdis in Bilad al-Sham, and the Levant and the land of Kin'an fell to the Muslims. And historical records of the Muslims, and they're much more authentic than anyone else's history, because we have Sanad in Asanid, a chain of narrators that go all the way to the event. When Umar ibn al-Khattab conquered the city and the city fell to him, he asked the inhabitants of the city, there used to be Jewish quarters in here, so where are they? The population, who were mainly Christians now because of the influence of the Roman Empire, pointed to a dump site, that this is the place where the Jewish quarters used to be. Because, historically, the Christians blamed the Jews for the crucifixion of Christ. It is not our belief. We do not believe that he was crucified or killed, but our Christian brethren believe that. And they believe that the Jews caused that. So the persecution of the Jews went to the point of eradication of the Jews. The Spanish Inquisition and all of that against the Jews. So here they had left no trace of them. And their quarters, their dwellings where they used to be once upon a time, had turned into a rubbish pit. So Umar radiallahu anhu ordered for it to be tidied up, and invited Jews to come and resettle or at least visit the Holy Lands. And in a lot of ways, this was the revitalization of Jewry in Palestine or in Bayt al-Maqdis. So now Islam has come, and the population has increased, and the rest of it. Then the verse goes, says, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum, Muslims, under your reign, whilst you're in charge, if you do good, you do good for yourself. If you do good, people will remember you as good. History will record you as good. The heavens will record you good. You will be rewarded for it in dunya and akhirah. Wa in asa'tum falaha, and if you misbehave, if you rule unjustly, if you wrong, then there will be its consequences. So alhamdulillah, we notice in the reign of Umar, there is magnanimity, there is decency. He has allowed them to come back, invited them, cleaned up, hasn't massacred the local Christian population, the local indigenous population. And when they saw and interacted with the Muslims, and as time passed, more and more of them converted to Islam. Some of the Christians converted to Islam, some of the Jews converted to Islam, and eventually over time it became the dominant religion of the place. So this continues until the next verse. And the next verse Allah Rabbul Izza says, which, indicates our times now. So Allah Rabbul Izzah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرِ. Remember, he promised them two reigns. Now he says, when the second or the last reign comes, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرِ. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرِ. Because the first one finished, but Allah has promised them two reigns. So when the end of the second reign comes, what will it look like? Just hold that thought as we go through history. So from the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, in 600 and probably 30 after Christ, all the way to 1914, Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis, is under Muslim rule. except for a short few years where the Crusaders came and the bloodshed that they went, you know, that they caused, the killing of men and women, young and old, children and even unborn children. Apart from those few years, from the time of Omar all the way to the time of 1914, where World War I started, the land is run and ruled by Muslims, and the population are local Canaanite population. You look at their DNA, it's the same DNA as the people in the Levant, as the same DNA as the Syrians, same DNA as the as the people of Lebanon, because they have been there for centuries. Some new immigration has happened, obviously, and that can also be traced. But the original native indigenous population are strongly present, or were strongly present in the reign of the Muslim Khilafat, all the way to the time of World War I. So around World War I, certain things happened. So let me just go a few years before that. So I'll race through this quickly, inshallah ta'ala. So in 1880s, remember, the Jews have been dispersed during Roman rule and other rules before that, and they're scattered across Europe. So there's some in Germany, and there's some in Poland, and there's some in France, and there's some in Switzerland, and there's some in Yemen, and there's some in Iran, and they have spread far and vast in their small communities and their small tribes. In 1880s, amidst the affluent European Jews, this thought emerged that we should all have a single homeland. And this is called the Zionist thought. And it got spread around enough that a few of the passionate people started to pack their bags and migrate to Palestine into the Ottoman lands, like Palestine was under Ottoman rule at the time. So by 1896, some 16 years later, this thought had found strong roots and amidst the affluent and rich and famous people. And the 1986, the first Congress of the Zionists was held by Theodore Herzl, in which he proposed and postulated that we should have our own homeland. And he made certain suggestions, of which was Palestine, Northern Territory here in Australia, parts of South America, that if this doesn't work, then this, and if this doesn't work, then this. And they agreed, and he started to communicate to world leaders. He communicated to the Khalif about his idea and requesting that Palestine be given to him and to the Zionists, and in return they would pay off the national debt of the Ottomans, and they would put money into the treasury. The Ottoman Khalif refused, obviously. He has taken the same proposal to other world leaders, including the British world leaders at the time, and they were obviously more inclined to this, but their hands were too far from the project. The Ottoman Khilafah was in effect, and they couldn't reach there. A few years later, in 1914, World War I starts, in which the Ottomans and the Germans fought basically the other European nations. And now the golden opportunity came that if the Ottoman Khilafah falls and the land is divided amidst the victors, and if it falls to the English or to the United Kingdom, then now they will have a mandate over the land, and maybe they'll now facilitate. So as the war is going around 1916, it looked like the Ottomans might lose this one. So two famous names or surnames, Peacock and Sykes, were assigned to listen, redraw the maps in the event that the Ottoman Khilafat falls apart. So they took the Ottoman lands and carved out that this section will belong to France and this section will belong to the British. A few years later, when it did fall apart, the Palestinian lands and the Levant fell to the British, and now they had a mandate over it. But the Brits, being proactive in 1916 when they started to plan the carving out of the Muslim lands into these little kingdoms and to mandates. They also wrote a letter to the Zionist Congress, to Lord Rothschild from Arthur Balfour. This is in 1918, to say we have accepted the deal to give the land of Palestine to you in the event that victory is ours. As a consequence, obviously, money came in, support came in, fighters came in. This obviously facilitated them winning the war against the Ottomans. And as soon as they had won, Jewish migration started to be facilitated by the United Kingdom into a land that was never theirs, amidst a people who they could probably not even speak their language. And in all honesty, if you had left a British soldier on the streets of Jerusalem or Damascus, he probably wouldn't be able to find his way out. Yet they happily sold a land that belonged to someone else, that had thousands of years of heritage and legacy in the land, and they sold it to these European Zionists, who then started to pour into the land of Palestine. And no sooner had they landed than their mischievous act started. I'm not sure if you know, but look at the names of Irgun, the Haganah, Lehi, all terrorist organizations terrorizing local population, blowing up bridges, blowing up transportation lines, assassinating politicians, including British politicians. They blew up the King David Hotel in Palestine. And eventually, as the British see this is getting too messy, 1948, the British wash their hands from Jerusalem and from Palestine, and they leave the mandate. But they have done their job. They sold the real estate to someone else and went back to their own countries. And on the same day, Israel declares itself a state in the land of Canaan. You notice that the inception is based on a lie. The inception of the land is on theft. The inception is on deception. The inception is on terrorism. So this is naturally described as fasad linguistically in Arabic. And the Quran says, now we go back to our prophecy, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرِ, when the last rain comes. And wa'ad here again is the end and the zawal. So this kingdom, this rain starts to grow from 1948. Today we are in 2024. So 7 decades and more has passed of this, and the cruelty has just increased. Currently, we watch the massacre of 30,000 civilians, non-combatants, 70% plus women and children being conducted at the hands of this power and the hands of this government, clearly classified fasad and vice and mischief on earth. So the Quran says, when the end reaches, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرِ, two rains, when the end of the second rain of evil reaches, these will be its signs. These will be its signs. Listen to the signs carefully. The first signs, لِيَسُوءُ وُجُوهَكُمْ, they will humiliate and insult your faces, in reference to the Muslims. So an insult has happened. 30,000 people have just been killed in this time. Every time they go to the mosque, you see them being abused and terrorized by settler communities. Settlers come happily and push people out of their houses in which they have lived for centuries and occupy it. Settler violence is known and documented. Settlers considered illegal even by United Nations exist and are furbished and are facilitated by this government. Therefore, but each of those causes insult to injury, insult to the Arabs and the Kinaaniyun who live there. So the first sign was when the second rain comes of all global population, the Quran says, لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. They will insult your faces, as in Muslim faces. And this is fulfillment of prophecy. Because it could have been somewhere else. Like, as they wanted, Northern Territory, they could have been here in Australia. And then the verse would have been untrue. So the second rain was supposed to come, as per prophecy, amidst Muslims. And this is the miracle of the Quran. Because they would insult our faces as a sign of the end of the rain. The first one. Second sign, وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. And they will enter the masjid, meaning Baytul Maqdis, like they entered it the first time. And here the verse uses the word masjid. Masjid is only places of worship for the Muslims. So it shows that it will be a mosque. It will be a place of your worship, but they will take it and enter it. So they will take Baytul Maqdis from us, and they will enter it. And subhanallah, you'll be fascinated to hear this. There's an organization that has existed, I think probably, if memory serves me, from the late 1980s, which has tasked itself or has been tasked either by the government or by the community to look for ways to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. And they have a few requirements to be able to demolish Masjid al-Aqsa and build the temple, because it's a religious site and they have religious rules. So of their religious rules is that the priest who will oversee the rebuilding must be pure. And impurity in their faith is if you have touched a dead body, or if you have touched the dead, you have become impure. Now, most people have touched the dead because, you know, your uncle died, your grandfather died, your auntie died, you went to bury the person, you've given them a farewell kiss, or you've hugged them at the time of death, or you've put them in their grave, you've had contact with the dead. Ceremonial impurity for the Jews happens if you have touched the dead. And it doesn't stop there. Second level, the impurity happens if you touch someone who has touched the dead. So say a doctor has handled someone dead, then the doctor goes home, hugs his kids. The kids become impure, ceremonially, like as in for to be able to do this religious task. They are considered impure. So now they are trying to breed, and they have been doing, a people who are pure, ceremonially clean, have not touched the dead or anyone that has touched the dead. And now they have this. They have a school or a cluster of priests trained in keeping themselves pure and clean. That's the first requirement. Second requirement, to be able to rebuild the temple, the population needs to be cleansed. Because obviously there'll be builders, there'll be worshippers, all they have to be cleansed. And the only way to clean them is to slaughter a specific cow. This cow has conditions. Of its conditions is that it should be all red. So what they call the red heifers. And it should not have a single hair that is white or black or another color. It cannot have any spot or blemish on it. It can never have worn a collar around its neck. It could never have mated and nor had any children. And it could never have worked on farm. So all these requirements are religious requirements for the special cow. In history, only 9 of these have been sacrificed. Like throughout the history from the time of Moses, only 9 such categories have been found. So now they're looking eagerly to find the 10th one, and they will then sacrifice it, ceremonially burn it, and the ashes will then cleanse whoever touches the ashes or whatever process they have. So in 2015, they found this red Haifa. And there was a lot of excitement around the world that finally it's here. It will be sacrificed. Millions will gather. We will all be cleansed. And then we will demolish the Masjid al-Aqsa, the Muslim masjid that is there, and rebuild the Temple of Solomon. But towards the end, as it got close, because it has to be a specific age as well, they found a blemish on the hair. One of the hairs had turned dark, and the rabbis rejected it, and that finished that one. Another one was discovered in 2018, and as I say, there's fully funded organizations looking for them. And again, right towards the end, a black hair was found under one of the arms of the heifer, or of the cow. So then they went to Texas, and now they are artificially selecting, genetically modifying, specifically looking to breed these heifers. And subhanAllah, just now in this year, five have been identified and are of age to be sacrificed. They only need one, but for good measure, they're keeping five. And rumor has it that on the last day of December, it was designed that they would sacrifice this ceremonial cow. And it would coincide with the new year, so everyone's on holiday. Millions of Jews would pour into Jerusalem and into Masjid al-Aqsa. They would perform the ceremony, and then everyone would be cleansed. And then, you know, with having millions of people gathered in a single place and passions running high and a huge ceremony that was probably last conducted near the time of Moses and after, or in the second building of the temple. And it would probably justify the demolishing of Masjid al-Aqsa. And then, you know, to say we couldn't control them, 2 million people, they took matters into their own hands. And but now what can we do? So we will build the temple. But as Allah Rabbul Izzah, people plan and the heavens plan, and now there's such a mess there that no one is even thinking about Haifa or not Haifa. And you see the mess that has unfolded in Palestine. So that's the second requirement. The first one was, they will insult your faces. Second is the rebuilding of the temple. And now they have their priests, and they had the heifers, and they had the date, because the cows have a lifespan, yeah? They had the date. It was supposed to happen. It hasn't happened on this occasion. This won't stop them trying. They'll probably try again. But they will take over or enter Masjid al-Aqsa, as the verse says. And the third sign is وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْا تَتْبِيرًا. And they will destroy everything that you have built. And the verse says, everything you have built up. So you watch now in Palestine, the Muslims have in their little area that they are prisoned with big tall walls, and they have built high-rise apartments because there's no other way of housing population. And these multi-story apartments, you know, they have been built up high, as being shot with a single rocket down the bottom, missile, and the whole building comes crashing down. Consistent with the verse, they will demolish all the things that you have raised up. So they raised up these buildings, and they have demolished it. A sign of the demise, or a sign of the end of this cruel and vicious reign. So the prophecy that pertains to us is when this end of the second reign happens. Watch for these three things. Number one, the insult of your faces, the souring and humiliation of Muslim faces. We see that on a regular basis at the time of the Prophet, unimaginable. Second, the taking over of Masjid al-Aqsa, which they are planning night and day, and which will, Allah Rabbul Izzah protect, which is one of the signs. And the third one, where they will demolish everything built. And then Allah Rabbul Izzah says, we will end with this, عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ. Muslims, it might be that your Lord will have mercy upon you. As in, it doesn't have to go through all of this, or this is your solution for this situation. عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يَرْحَمَكُمْ وَإِنْ عُدْتُمْ عُدْنَا. If you return, we will return. If you return to what you used to be, the type of Muslims that you used to be, we will return or we will turn to helping you and aiding you and supporting you and giving you victory. So the question is, what type of Muslims should we be? We need to be the type of Muslims that were at the time of the Prophet. And if you want to know what they look like in our times, look at the people of Gaza. Brave, courageous, devout, patient, forbearant, fearless, courageous. Become that again, and Allah Rabbul Izzah will give you what He gave to the early generations. Allah bless you, Allah guide you, Allah guard you. For your patience, I thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.